out, multiply them for the sake of your kingdom and for your eternal glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you've got a Bible with you, and whether it's a physical one or on your app, we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. It will also come up on the screen behind me. We did it in the first one. We're going to do it in the second one. Let's stand and read the Word of God together, shall we? Okay. Let's stand, shall we, and read the Scriptures together. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Next slide, please. Stand for with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like of armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Please be seated. Thank God for His Word. This is the last in our series in Ephesians. And when we get to this passage, it seems a bit like a standalone exhortation. Having, if you remember, started on the heights of blessing, suddenly we land in the fields of battle. From extolling a sovereign and a purposeful God, saving and securing a people in Christ, we discover that we are waging war against the enemy. It seems a strange place to land in preachers' terms. Preachers, we're always talking about how do you land a message. And it seems a strange place to land. But you are in a battle. And when you turn to the person next to you and say to them, you are in a battle. Put on the full armor of God, says Paul, so that you can stand against the schemes, the wiles, the strategies of the devil. For our struggle, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against every spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms. Yes, we are in a battle. You're in a battle. I am in a battle. We are in a battle. And everything is not what it appears. Have you found that out? Yes. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, everything is not what it appears. Yes. Now tell them with some conviction. Everything is certainly not what it appears, either on the individual scene or on the international scene. And we need to bear that in mind when you watch the news, when we read our newspapers, that everything that is going on at that level is not simply about flesh and blood, but it's about principalities and powers, cosmic forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But also in the personal scene as well. We're up against not simply, as it were, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness that exist behind them. And as much as God is real, there is a very real and dark spiritual world operating behind the scenes, behind people, behind nations, behind institutions, behind ideologies, behind philosophies, sinful practices, religions, superstitions, etc. We could go on and on. And those things are seeking to undo and thwart God's good purposes in the earth. Yeah? There's an old saying that says, ignorance is bliss, it's folly to be wise. Listen, I want to tell you this morning that this is not the case as far as the battle that we are involved in is concerned. Sometimes as Christians we say, we don't want to talk about the enemy. You know, that's all kind of dark stuff and we don't want to go there and we kind of want to bury our head in the sand or just dwell in the scriptures that are all about light and life and blessing and abundance and so on. Listen, we have an enemy. You have an enemy. I have an enemy. And ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. It is folly to be wise. Ignorance, as far as the enemy of our souls is concerned, is not bliss. It is sheer folly. We are actually giving space to the enemy. We need to know our enemy. If we're ignorant of his devices, we'll fall prey to his purposes. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, if you are ignorant of his devices, you will fall prey to his purposes. Yeah, to bury our heads in the sand, to be ignorant of him and his devices is to fall prey to his purposes. He'll walk all over us. He'll abuse us. He'll bring us into bondage. He'll rob us of our peace. He'll rob us of our joy. He'll rob us of our identity. He'll rob us of our assurance and our fellowship with one another. And the battle goes right up to the end. We need to remember that. Scripture speaks of a very real spiritual world of Satan and his demons. But Jesus says of him, he comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Yeah? He comes for no other reason than to rob, kill, and destroy. He will come to us and pretend that he's got a blessing that he can offer us, like he did to Adam and Eve in the garden, and like he's done to so many down through the centuries. He'll come pretending that there's something on offer, something better than what God has to offer. In fact, even that God might be depriving you of something and that what he has is far better. Jesus says he comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But the scripture says also that the Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. Hallelujah. Yes. And Jesus, when he came, that was his purpose. His purpose in taking on human flesh, in living here. So throughout his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, he was up against the enemy and he beat him all the way. Hallelujah. Yeah. Isn't that good? What a gospel. But John goes on to say that the world is presently under his sway. Everything is not finished yet. We're living in the now and the not yet of the kingdom. And Peter says that the enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so this means that there is no neutral ground. Oh, I wish that that was. And oh, as Christians, sometimes we pretend that there is. That a neutral piece of ground that we can stand in which we're neither holy for God or neither holy for the enemy. There is no neutral ground. Turn to the person next to you and tell them that there is no neutral ground. Are you sure about that? Yeah? Turn to them again and say, there is no neutral ground. Not only that, listen, the enemy doesn't play fair. He does not follow any rules of engagement. When we think of war on the international scene and we think about war, there are generally rules of engagement, things that are right and things that are wrong to do. But the enemy doesn't follow any rules of engagement. He fights us however and wherever he will, okay? And when it comes to compromise, listen, it always works in his favor. Did you hear me? Turn to the person next to you and tell them compromise always works in the enemy's favor. Okay. Because the enemy likes to convince us that if we can get into compromise, we'll be in a nice piece of ground somewhere where everything will be okay. He'll leave us alone and God, well, he'll still be around, you know, to help us out when we need. Compromise never works in God's favor, and it never works in our favor. It always works in the enemy's favor. Yeah? Okay? Paul talks about the schemes, the strategies, the wiles of the devil in 6 verse 11 there. The question is, are we aware of those schemes, those wiles, those strategies? I don't know if any of you have read any of C.S. Lewis at all, but C.S. Lewis and his Screwtape Letters come to mind. And if you don't know anything about them, just to fill in a bit, basically it's about some fictional correspondence that goes on between a senior demon called Screwtape to his nephew Wormwood, a junior tempter who's trying to tempt humans away from God. Now, Junior thinks he's really up for the fight and he's really looking to get into the battle. He wants to take them out this way, that way, and the other. And he's a bit of a blunderbuss when it comes to it. Screwtape says to him, no, this is not a good way. They'll spot us if we do that kind of thing. And this is what he says to the junior. He says to him, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Oh yes, he's crafty. If he came to us, you know, with big horns and a fiery red face and a glowing, you know, whatever it is in his hand, we would look and think, oh yeah, that's the devil. Let's run far from him. But no, he doesn't come like that, does he? He comes as an angel of light, as it says elsewhere. The enemy, his minions, develop strategies, different strategies, depending on our personality, our relationships, and our responsibilities. Listen, every spiritual battle is designed to undermine our faith. Yeah? Turn to the person next to you and tell them every spiritual battle is designed to undermine our faith. The battle that we're called in is designed to undermine our faith in God, our life in Christ, our unity in the Spirit, our relationships, our resources in Christ, our witness to the world, and our kingdom effectiveness. And this is Paul's concern, and this is why he has written to them from the very beginning. Listen, if the enemy can take us out of the game one way or another, he will seek to do so. It may be through very simple things. It may be through bigger things. He always sneaks up, though. And it may be then a quarrel, the unwillingness to apologize, unforgiveness, temptation leading to sin, justifying sin, the failure to be renewed in our minds, unbelief, fault-finding, weariness in well-doing, comparing ourselves to others, worry and anxiety, discouragement, a sense of continual failure, the tendency to despair, worldliness and materialism, difficulties, emotions, an orphan spirit, superstitions, and here's a big one, offense. Or as Scripture calls it, scandalization, and we're scandalized. How many of God's people down through the years have been scandalized by something that was said to them or they deemed to be said to them? Something that they've not done that they thought should have been done. How many people have walked out of churches and not gone back again for that very reason? How many people have held on to those things to the very end of their days? And you may think it doesn't happen. I can assure you that it does. I've spoken to people who've been scandalized. And if that's you, I want to encourage you that here is space today to come and deal with that. Space today to put it right once and for all. Each of these things that I've touched on, we could dig into in greater ways. And I just felt as I was preparing that God just wanted me to just put these things out there. And it may be that as I've gone through that list, something has touched you. There's some unforgiveness in your heart towards another brother, towards somebody else. Maybe that you're refusing to forgive. Why should I forgive them? Goodness me, after all that they have done. It may be that the enemy has got you into fault finding, where you're constantly picking holes in people and things. It may be that you've just grown weary as a result of well-doing, and the enemy's on your back. Let me tell you, God wants you to stand strong. And if any of those things speak to you in any way, we're in a place of grace here. We're in his presence. And you can know forgiveness, you can know healing, you can know restoration and renewal. It talks about the flaming arrows, doesn't it? Those arrows that come swiftly by day or by night. I know when I was ill 2-3 years ago, that was a bad time. And sometimes pain would wake me up in the middle of the night. And not only with the pain, I get the arrows coming into my mind saying this thing and that thing and the other thing. And I began to wonder even whether life was worth living at times. And maybe you've known something of it. Flaming arrows, accusations, intimidation, condemnation, betrayal, feelings of unforgiveness and inadequacy, doubts, deceptions and fear. Do you ever find yourself wondering where some thoughts come from? You know, you're going about your daily life and just doing your business, doing whatever it is it needs to be, and suddenly this thought drops into your mind, this evil thought, this evil idea. Now, where did that come from? You know? What was that all about? Or maybe it's a heaviness. You know, you went to bed fine, and then you get up the next morning. It's like, woo, this big on you, you know, this weight. Where did that come from? I went to bed fine, and I suddenly wake up. Well, perhaps you've gone through the day, and that's been your experience. Something, as you were going through the day, something just came on you. Where did that come from? Brothers and sisters, we are in a battle. And from the outset, Paul has been moving to this point. He says there is a war on. We struggle, we wrestle. It's a struggle, a wrestling match. And there is no place to hide, no place for passivity. One of the things that the enemy loves to get us to, an attitude of mind to get us into, is passivity. Where we just say, oh, yeah, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see, you know. That kind of, yeah. Anybody identify with that? Have you been there? I've been there. Sure, many in here have been there. Oh, well, you know, whatever, you surrender to it. We're called into battle and we're called to fight. And look at this, we are called to stand. God is on your side and you are on God's side. And God's desire, God's will, God's intention for you is in the midst of battle that you stand. Amen? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, some of you are going through battles, and if we had conversations here this morning, there'll be all sorts of things going on in different people's lives, different kinds of battles on different battlefields, etc. But they're battles, and the enemy's there at the back of it. But God is with you, hallelujah, and God wants you to stand. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and tell them God wants you to stand. Yes, hallelujah. Stand occurs three times in that particular passage that we read. And so it's important for us to stand. 5 points here. Number one, that we know our God. It's important that we know our God. All the way through this book that Paul has been writing, this letter to the church at Ephesus, he has been writing with this at the back of his mind, and he has been unfolding to them God and his glorious purposes in Christ through the Holy Spirit. In fact, throughout the book, you discover that God is not just simply God. He is a tripersonal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has been from all eternity, and he will be to all eternity. And as it says in Daniel, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. One of the reasons we do not do exploits is because we do not know God enough. Yeah? And let's be honest, sometimes we've actually elevated Satan up to a level where it's like a dual battle going on, where they're both equals. Well, Scripture doesn't say that. God has been from all eternity and will be to all eternity. He is the creator and sustainer of the heavens and the earth. The reason that you and I are living and moving and have our being right now is because God is on his throne. Hallelujah. And he is giving us life. You know, pinch yourself and say, I'm alive. It's real. God is on his throne. Those who know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. So it's important that we know God. It's important that we know what he has done in Jesus, that God has come in Jesus and he has taken on day by day everything that the enemy could throw at him, and he has defeated the enemy day in and day out, constantly saying no to Satan and sin and yes to the Father and his purposes. He then goes down into death and beats Satan, sin, death and hell, rises again and is alive today at the right hand of the Father, a man in the glory. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? So know your God. Know your enemy too. That's important. We might say, well, I don't want to know too much about him. Well, actually, can you imagine anybody going into battle saying, well, come on, folks, let's get everything together and let's go to war. Well, who are we going to fight against? Okay, what have they got? You know, it's important that we know our enemy. It's important that we know his resources. So what and know who he is and what you are up against. Then thirdly, it's important that we are strengthened by the Lord. Some versions say, be strong in the Lord. That can sound a little bit like it's your job to get your muscles up, to get strong. But that's actually not how it reads. It's be strengthened in the Lord or by the Lord. So we're receiving from the Lord the strength that he gives to us. You can't do it on your own. We need his strength. It's not that I've got to be strong, but rather to be strengthened by God and his resources. We have Paul saying, doesn't he? He says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And being filled with the Spirit brings God's resources into our very being. And then he says, put on the full armor of God. Not just part of it, but the whole armor of God. Can you imagine somebody going into war with only part of them covered? Someone going into war in those days with just a helmet on, protecting their brain, and yet their chest, their vital organs here are exposed. He says, put on the full armor of God. And what's fascinating about this is that each of these have already been referred to by Paul. And so this suggests to me that this is not some random conclusion that Paul is coming to, some final thought, as it were, but a summary and application of the whole. Paul, in other words, takes all that he has said and repackages it and reframes it in this final illustration, and an important illustration it is too. So, know your God, know your enemy, be strengthened by the Lord, put on the full armor of God. And he also says there, pray. In the last few verses, it says, pray three times. And that is vitally important. That is our secret weapon. You know, the old saying still rings true that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. You know, you say, well, I don't know how to pray. That's not the point. When you get down to pray and you join forces with God, you're in the majority. And there's strength and power there to do all sorts of things. Let me ask you this morning, how is your prayer life? It is so vital. It is so important. And so as we come towards a close, as we think about drawing this in, we can respond to this as seeing them as some kind of virtues that we are to put on, when in actual fact, it's recognizing what God has already done. And he's calling them to put on Christ, his attributes and gifts, for the sake and the unity, maturity of the church and the cause of the gospel. In the Christian life, there's always a tension between divine provision and human responsibility. There is a place to rest in the Lord, to let go and let God, to stand still and see the salvation of God. And it may be that some of us who are perhaps more particularly activists need to learn a little bit more how to step back and stand still and see the salvation of God. And this is where we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit in the different battles we find ourselves in. Sometimes there's time to stand back and just see what God is going to do. Let God do his thing, to let go and to let God. On the other hand, there is a call to action, to fight the good fight of the faith. And we need to, some of us may need to hear that this morning, to get into the place of prayer, to get into the word of God, to feed ourselves and to find out how God has resourced us and to know how to fight a good fight. Throughout the letter, there is an emphasis on divine gift, followed by human responsibility. And listen, God will not do what he has required of you. God will not do what he has required of you or me. John Stott said this many years ago. He said, some Christians are so self-confident that they think they can manage by themselves without the Lord's strength and armor. Others are so self-distrustful that they think they have nothing to contribute to the victory, to their victory in spiritual warfare. Both, he says, are mistaken. And that's where the enemy can catch us out. We are to take up the armor, to be strengthened by the Lord, to wield the sword of the Spirit, to quench the fiery darts with the shield of faith, to pray, to pray until something happens. That's a good thing to remember. Push. Pray until something happens. The enemy likes to wear us down when it comes to prayer. Oh, nothing's happened yet. God's not heard yet. God's not answered yet. And you can, you know, day in and day out, well, what's the point? I give up on that one, you know. But we pray until something happens. That's the principle of Scripture. So as we draw to a close here, everything that Paul has written is to enable them to live in the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God, to be able to stand in the evil day, to continue making Christ known. And such a life is not based on the old fallen order of Jew and Gentile, walking according to the flesh, or the hierarchies of authority and submission, but a family of brothers and sisters, siblings, doing life together in the Spirit, a family where the emphasis is on unity, mutuality, love, living transformed lives and serving in the power of the Spirit, a prophetic people who challenge the accepted norms of society, whether they were Roman, Greek, or those of today, a people who manifest a different way of doing life, that life that is freeing, healthy, wholesome, encouraging, uplifting, and enabling, and full of goodness. Hallelujah. A people who know their God, know the enemy, and know how to stand and remain standing. Strengthened by the Lord, clad in the armor that he provides, and pray until something happens. And as such, they would be a demonstration of God's manifold grace and wisdom to the principalities and powers. Amen. What a vision, isn't it? Let's stand, shall we, as we come to the end this morning. And you just may need to respond to that in some way or other. I don't know whether you've got anything you want to feed into that. No. But particularly I'd like to pick up on the one of being scandalized. I've known what it is to be scandalized in my Christian life. And I'm sure there are many others here too. And it can have an awful effect upon our lives. If you've been scandalized this morning, please come and talk to one of us and seek some prayer. We'd love to pray for you this morning and see you set free to be all that God wants you to be. Okay? If there's anything else in any of that we've been sharing this morning, maybe you've grown weary in the battle. You know, life has got a bit of a slog for you. And you've kind of lost perspective and, well, you just, whatever will be. God wants to renew you this morning. He wants to restore your strength. Amen? Yeah. Let's just welcome his presence. Father, we've covered a lot of ground there this morning. But it's important ground. And just now in these moments, you know each and every life, each heart, each mind, each relationship. God, you know where the enemy has got in, taken us out of the battle, or seeking to do so. God, you know all about it. Nothing is hidden from you. We praise you that you're a God who's for us more than we can possibly imagine. You've made that known to us in Jesus, in his coming, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. In fact, there's a man in the glory. Hallelujah. We praise you too for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who makes the truth real to us and applies it to our lives, enables us to receive it and to live into it. And Lord, in this room this morning, there will be many battles going on. Lord, just come to your people with strength. You might want to put out your hands and just be in a place of reception. Just receiving his strength before you go out into this week. You've been saying, how can I do this? I can't do this. I'm trying to muster something up and it's not there. Just receive his strength this morning. It may be that you have been scandalized. Listen, by living in scandalization, the only person who's winning is the devil. But God is a God of grace and mercy, and he wants to help you to come to a place of healing, renewal, commitment. So, Father, there's so much here. Holy Spirit, would you just apply your word to every life? Lord, those that have been crushed and are on the ground, would you enable them to stand even now? Just stand in your presence. Know your strength. Put on the armor of God afresh. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Get back into prayer. And to pray until something happens. In Jesus' name. Amen. Again, if you would like prayer in any way, I'm happy to pray. Jazz, Debbie, Pam, others are around. Tim, different ones who quite happily pray for you. Don't go out without it. We are here for one another.